So, we continue reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. Today we will be reading texts 34 and 35, out of which 34 we will chant responsively. And before I begin, I wanted to ask all the blessings from the Vaishnavas. And also, I feel like it would be a good thing to welcome back Mother Tadit, who came back from the holy places. And so let's chant the invocational mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Varsha Bata Tapa Hima. Varsha Bata Tapa Hima. Garmakala Gunananu. Garmakala Gunananu. Sahamana Shvasarodha. Sahamana Shvasarodha. Vinirdutta Manomalo. Vinirdutta Manomalo. Varshavata Tapahima. Garmakala Gunananu. Sahamana Shvasarodha. Vinirdhutta Manomalo. Please. Varshavata Tapa. Please. Varshavata tapahima. Ramakala gunamana. Sahamana shvasaradha. Vinyadhuttam namana. Marshavata tapahima. Manashvasana. Vinidatam manamala. Marshavata tapahima. Bye. also read the second text, 35. Shirna parna nila harav upas shanteina chetasa matakaman abhipsanto mat aradhanam ihatu. Please repeat synonyms. Barsha, the rain. Bata, strong wind. Atapa, strong sunshine. Hima, severe cold. Garma, heat. Kalagunananu, according to seasonal changes. Sahamano, by enduring. Shvasarodha, by practicing yoga, controlling the breath. Vinirdhuta, the dirty things accumulated in the mind were completely washed away. Manamalo, the mind became clean, free from material contamination. Shirna, rejected. Dry. Parna, leaves from the trees. Anila, and air. Ahara, eating. Upashantana, peaceful. Chetasa, with a fully controlled mind. Mattaha, from me. Come on, Abhisanto. Desiring to beg some benediction. Mat, my. Aradhanam, worship. Ihatu, you both executed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your minds all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. Purport. Vasudeva and Devaki did not obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son very easily, nor does the Supreme Godhead accept merely anyone as his father and mother. Here we can see how Vasudev and Devaki obtained Krishna as their eternal son. In our own lives, we are meant to follow the principles indicated herewith for getting good children. Of course, it's not possible for everyone to get Krishna as his son, but at least one can try. One can get very good sons and daughters for the benefit of human society. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that if human beings do not follow the spiritual way of life, there will be an increase of Varnasankar population begotten like cats and dogs, and the entire world will become like hell. Not practicing Krishna consciousness, but simply encouraging artificial means to check the population will be futile. The population will increase, and it will consist of Varnasankara unwanted progeny. It is better to teach people how to beget children, not like hogs and dogs, but in controlled life. So this is first part of the purport, and maybe we can say a few words about it, because it's a very interesting subject matter. Srila Prabhupada speaks many times about Garbhadana, Samskara, begetting Krishna conscious progeny. And we can see practically in our society how it works, that those devotees who follow the principles of Garbhadhan Samskara, they have very wonderful children. And I see everywhere devotees have amazing children. And like in this community, Nilamadav Prabhu, who is the second generation devotee, I don't know if he works anywhere, but seems like being in the temple, in the kirtan, this is his main occupation. And of course he is here with his entire family, and everyone is so enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. And so this is the result. Of course, sometimes we can see that even in the material world, people don't even know about Garbhadhan Samskara, but they sometimes get nice children. And it's called causeless mercy of the Lord. Without knowing it, somehow or other, they hit the exact day, the exact time when, you know, they could beget really nice children. But it's like a gambling. And mostly, of course, it's a failure. Mostly the children who are born, they belong to this Varna Sankara category, and we can see horrible things which are happening on the planet now, that unwanted children, those who hate everybody, and you know, they create hell on earth. But by following Krishna conscious principles, we can completely change it. And it's very interesting that, say, like coming from Russia and knowing very well Russian history, and it was quite demonic in a sense, because communists were establishing themselves through horrendous bloodshed. Tens of millions of people lost their lives in civilian war when they tried to establish themselves. And the philosophy of communism is, of course, demonic philosophy, as it is very nicely outlined in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, someone who doesn't believe in God is a demon. And therefore we can see that they really wanted to make everyone equal, but on the bottom platform. They never wanted anyone thoughtful, they never wanted anyone independent, and therefore systematically they were destroying every intelligent, every thoughtful, anyone capable of anything, so to make sure that it's only like bottom level of the population left. And after doing that, and their philosophy was that anyone could run the country, but then they realized that after they destroyed every single potential leader, they realized now it doesn't, you know, we still need leaders. And they started thinking, how do we restore the, you know, good population? And I got this information from one very old lady I spoke with, and she told me that there was a special institution developed in Soviet Russia, in communist Russia, which was particularly dedicated to the problem of creating good progeny. It was called, in a very simple way, family institution, but or institution for the family, whatever you translate, whatever, whichever way you want to translate. But it was dedicated to that specific purpose: how to restore, how to make sure that good children are born, children with good qualities, with good capacity. And they were researching everything they could, but they found the answer in Vedas. They came across Garbhadhana Samskara, and they've decided to implement that. But unfortunately, the Second World War impeded their plans, and it never happened.
But this was the most effective solution they found to restore the good population. And therefore we can rest assured that this is the best of all the solutions. And if someone follows all the rules and regulations for Garbhadhana, there will be very nice children born in those families. I know that because I have association with the Grihastha devotees, and they tell me, like one Grihastha devotee, he told his first son is really exceptional personality. You could see that he is like a very exalted soul. But then he got his second son, and he's not that interested in Krishna consciousness, he's not that disciplined, and etc. And he actually admitted privately, he said, for the first son, we followed very strictly all the rules for Garbhadhana. But for the second one, we failed. It was an accidental conception, so, and the result is obvious. And even these children, they're so special that they can change the consciousness of people around them. One of my friends, he started Russian preaching in Israel, and now he lives in Mayapur. And he has two very exceptional children, and both of them are in Gurukul. And his son is only 14, and we had a retreat for the devotees for around 100 people. And he single-handedly cooked a feast for everybody at ease, which is unbelievable. And when everyone was, you know, thanking him, he said, oh, it's nothing special, I'm always cooking at Gurukul. And yes, both of these children, you know, that this devotee said, we begotten them strictly following Garbhadhan Samskara, every single rule. And so the results are astonishing. And the girl, she's still quite small. When that happened, when one episode happened to her, she was only 4 years old. And she was too young to go to Gurukul. But she was insisting, you know, she was like telling her parents that I want to go to Gurukul, I don't care if I'm small. And so they had to let her go, 4 years old. And on her own, she started chanting and doing a lot of services just because she enjoys it. And then her grandmother, she's not a devotee, but she loves her daughter and she loves her granddaughter. And so she came visiting them in Mayapur. And of course in Mayapur, there is not a huge choice of places where you want to go. Mostly you go to the temple. And her daughter told her that, could you please take, you know, your granddaughter and take her to the temple, because she really, really wants to go to the temple. And she agreed. And then when, you know, this little girl puts a nice tilak on her forehead before going to the temple, and then she looks at her grandmother and she says, where is your tilak? And, you know, this lady says, well, you know, and this little girl's name is Braja Lali, but everybody calls her Lali for short. And she says, well, Lali, I'm not a Hare Krishna, so I don't put tilak on. And she said, don't you understand that it's Mayapur and everyone has to wear tilak here, regardless of who he or she is? So unless you put your tilak on, I'm not walking with you. So, and this little girl forced her grandmother to put the tilak on. Of course, for her it was kind of, you know, fun. But yeah, she was influenced. And then they walking to the temple, and this little girl very enthusiastically chants her japa. And then she looks at her grandmother and she says, "Where are your beads?" And the grandmother says, you know, like, "Well, Lali, I'm not a Hare Krishna, so I don't chant." And she says, "I'm embarrassed to walk with you." Because you don't understand the simple fact that you're in Mayapur and everyone has to chant japa in here. And she actually forces her grandmother to start chanting japa. And now she is a devotee. Now she follows everything. Because it all starts with chanting. And everything else follows. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness. You know, even in such little children, they can change the consciousness of everyone around them. And this is a huge advantage we get from, you know, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam and all other books, his teachings. And so we will continue reading from the purport. Human life is meant not for becoming a hog or dog, but for tapodivyam, transcendental activity, austerity, sorry. Everyone should be taught to undergo austerity, tapasya. And those who know Bhagavatam can easily recognize which verse Srila Prabhupada is referring to in the purport, even though he is not quoting the entire verse. This is from the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev, and those who know the verse, they can chant alone. Nayam deha deha kasnam nirloke tasma kastam katam arhate vidbujambye tapodivyam putrakayena satvam sudhyet yasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. So Lord Rishabhadev says that Nayam deha deha bhajam nirloke kastam, what's that? Kastam kaman arhate vidbujambye, that those who take birth as human beings, they should not live like hogs and dogs. They should not live like animals. They should live like human beings. And what does it mean? Tapo divyam putrakena satvam. They should perform divine tapasya. Divyam means divine and tapo means austerity. Divine austerity. Should yet, for the sake of one's own purification, and yasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam, for the sake of attaining brahma sokyam, which means divine bliss, divine happiness. And spiritual happiness, unlike material happiness, does not depend on material circumstances and never ends, even with the end of the body. So, in this way we can understand that it is within our interests to follow a discipline, because that will make us happy forever. But, and then Srila Prabhupada continues, although it may not be possible to undergo tapasya like that of Krishna and Suttapa, the Shastra has given an opportunity for a method of tapasya very easy to perform, the Sankirtan movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child, but yet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world, Mukta Sangha, and goes back home, back to Godhead, Parambrajet. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness, but to take the real path of happiness as prescribed in the Shastra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and become perfect in every aspect of material existence. This is very amazing, that we can be happy in the place of misery, just by keeping in touch with Krishna, by association with Krishna through chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And naturally, the kind of austerities Sutapa and Prishni were performing are unimaginable for vast majority of us. You know, living on the air and dry leaves and enduring severe cold and scorching heat. Interestingly enough, the very name Sutapa. Tapa means austerity, and Su means, you know, there are many, and it is a prefix which intensifies the meaning of the word. So Sutapa means extreme austerity, one who is able to perform extreme austerity, or superior austerity, Sutapa. So he was performing austerity along with his wife for the sake of getting Krishna as a child. And these kind of people are very, very rare who can perform these kind of austerities. Only one category of people who are capable, or one nation who is capable to perform practically any types of austerities, is Bengalis. This is what I've noticed. And, you know, so many ISKCON devotees are commenting on that Bengalis are unbelievable. Not only they can perform very extreme austerities, but it doesn't even bother them. This is an amazing fact, that one Bengali pujari was serving in Northern Ireland in a kind of very run-down temple with no heating in the winter, and running barefoot on the marble floor, just with his chadar over his shoulders, serving the deities for like 12 hours a day, with a big smile on his face. And Krishna Kshatriya Maharaj, who used to be minister for deity worship at that time, he couldn't believe it. He said, "How can you endure so much difficulties?" And he just laughed and he said, "Okay, I think it's, you know, Krishna's will that he wants me to go through this austerity, so I guess I need some purification." That's their attitude. Or in the Tirupati temple in South India, devotees wanted to organize ladu production and distribution, ladu mahaprasad, because so many pilgrims wanted it. But they couldn't find cooks who would be capable of making ladu, which involves dealing with a lot of heat in the kitchen, in the summer, because summers are very hot in South India. And so what was their solution? Get Bengali cooks. And so they stay in the kitchen for 12 hours a day, completely happy. So, and of course we know how many austerities Srila Prabhupada performed to establish this movement. Actually, one time I came across, on my book distribution in London, I came across one man who told me that in his youth he lived at Lower East Side, and he saw Srila Prabhupada chanting, and apparently these were the times when Srila Prabhupada had zero following, nobody. He just started. And he was basically on his own, just playing kartals and singing Hare Krishna alone. And he had the text of Maha Mantra fixed somewhere behind his back so that people could follow. And he said, we, as really like young boys, we were very surprised how this elderly Indian man can endure New York winter, dressed very lightly. Actually, what he said, that Prabhupada was barefoot. Probably not barefoot, but he had these light sandals or something on his foot. So he was not even dressed for the winter. And in elderly body, it's pretty hard to endure cold. Bhaktichara Maharaj once made the comment that we will never be able to understand what Srila Prabhupada went through until we hit 70. After 70, we can understand. I guess the only person who would be an authority on the subject here is Amala Bhakta Maharaj. But unless you are 70, you wouldn't be able to understand what Srila Prabhupada went through. At such an age, to be alone and perform all these austerities. And this man actually said, all of you Hare Krishnas, and he was not a devotee. He said, all of you Hare Krishnas, you live so comfortably now, and you are spread all over the world, but you all owe to this old man. Because he went through so much hardships to establish, you know, the movement, which is true. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is transcendental personality, but probably, you know, the fact that he belonged to Bengali, you know, he had Bengali background, did help, you know, to withstand all these impossible austerities. That some of those austerities, he didn't even want to talk about with the devotees, not to scare them too much. And we know that he did it happily without ever complaining, which is very amazing. Like one devotee who was witnessing, who was present at the very first class Srila Prabhupada gave in Bombay on the Juhu land, he said to the devotees, look, how merciful Krishna is, we got such a nice piece of land without any difficulty. And all the devotees were like, how can he can say that? But this is the perception of a pure devotee, that whatever trouble we underwent, it's all nothing comparing to the gain we have. So the difficulties were not counting. And Srila Prabhupada did it all for us. He performed so much austerity. And the only austerity really we have is to continue chanting Hare Krishna and becoming transcendentally happy. Someone may say, it's not an austerity as such. What is so austere about chanting, dancing, feasting? These are pleasures. But actually, these are transcendental austerities because they are all meant to please the Supreme Lord rather than pleasing ourselves. And therefore, it says that it's easier to, you know, like, sleep on the nails or stand submerged like neck deep in the freezing water than attend Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. Attending Srimad Bhagavatam class is greater austerity. Why? Because it's meant for pleasing Krishna. Whereas those other austerities, to them, mostly they're just meant for material gain. And we can see that in the material world, some people perform unimaginable austerities for the sake of material gain, but they would not be able to follow the process devotees follow, because it's completely selfless. It's meant for Krishna's pleasure. And the only way we can do it, because for Kali Yuga it's really impossible to do. For Kali Yuga, it's really impossible to become completely selfless like that and dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord. And there is only one solution in Kali Yuga, that we do it together. That's why our movement is called Sankirtan movement. This is the power. Strength in numbers, as Prabhupada was saying. The more, the merrier. So the more devotees we have, the easier it is to serve Krishna. And of course, the example of senior leadership is very important, and therefore you can see so much enthusiasm for kirtan and preaching in this community, because the senior leadership is really amazing. That all the senior Vaishnavas, Prabhupada disciples, including very elderly, like Amala Bhakta Maharaj, they all here every single morning, dancing and singing with us. And Amal Bhakta Maharaj is jumping higher than everybody else. Even though he probably is the oldest Prabhupada disciple on the planet at the moment. And still dancing. So example is everything. And if we follow Prabhupada's teachings very faithfully and show very nice example, we can, and we actually already do, change the world to a very large extent. And it will take just a little bit more, just a little push to make it happen. That what Prabhupada came to do will happen. And it might even happen sooner than we think. I'm completely convinced of that. So, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So, if there are any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, Sankarshan Prabhu, do we have microphone? Yeah, broadcasting is there.
So you gave nice examples about these Bengalis, how tough they are to do these austerities. What about us poor souls who are not Bengalis?
What about those who are not Bengalis and who are not capable of performing austerities? Well, chanting Hare Krishna is easy. And we only need to be in a good association of devotees. And that's why any sincere Vaishnava prays just for one thing. Let me always remain in a good association of very sincere devotees, because this is the guarantee that we can continue no matter what happens. Thank you. Archita Prabhu. And then Sachitanoy Prabhu. Archita Prabhu was first.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj.
Thank you, Prabhu.
I think Sankarshan Prabhu knows the answer to his own question. There's that nice verse, Narada Muni, Aradyate Yadi Harim Tapasa Tatakim. Aradyate Yadi Harim Tapasa Tatakim. That if you know to worship Krishna and you actually worship Krishna, then what is the use of austerities? And if you don't worship Krishna, then what is the use of your austerity?
Yes.
So that is the answer for us. Prabhupada gave us the path of direct worship of Krishna, so there's no use nor need for. I mean, superficially, sometimes you may be put into a situation where you have to be a little more austere than usual. But in general, if you're worshipping Krishna, and if you know that Krishna is inside everything and outside of everything, then there's no need for performing austerities.
Yes.
Prabhupada pointed out, the gopis did not perform any austerities. They were not standing on their heads. They were not sitting in cold water. But they worked for Krishna and thought of Krishna while they were working. So that's the key for us. Keep working for Krishna. Prabhupada said, working samadhi. Yes, you should be in samadhi on Krishna, but work. So working samadhi, while you're working, you're thinking of Krishna, and that's our austerity. Whatever the spiritual master asks you to do, whether it's distributing books or cleaning the temple or producing the books or whatever, do it and think of Krishna, and that is your austerity.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, we're not looking for austerities, because material world is a austere place anyway, and so even without us looking, there will be some difficulties. But when those difficulties come, if we are in the association of devotees, actually those difficulties can turn in bliss. Like early Russian devotees who went through a lot of hardships, as we know, and sometimes just by reading something like Salted Bread book, we may think, you know, how these devotees could endure all these things. But if you talk to them, they would say these were the most blissful days in their Krishna consciousness, because they were all together and they were always thinking of Krishna. Because the only two, the only two categories of personalities they could count on in their lives were Krishna and each other. And so that created such a sweet atmosphere, such an amazing family relationship between the devotees, made them so close to each other. When I first came across those devotees, I just couldn't believe how amazing these people are. And, you know, they are ready to, like, give up their lives for each other without thinking for 1 second. And I never saw anything like that. So I was so impressed. I thought, I want to dedicate my life to serving these people. Okay, well, Satchitananda Prabhu was first, but maybe we can give to Amala Bhakta Maharaj because he's senior. So.
First of all, thank you very much for... Can you hear me all right?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much for some very interesting and enlightening points that you've made in regard to austerity. I would just like to make one little comment, since I myself do practice it to some degree. In regard to walking barefoot in the cold, at first it's very difficult. For 2 to 3 weeks, it could be very, very piercing, pinching, needle-like. But after that, it's no longer an austerity, because your feet become very leather-like. Seriously, you develop a callus on the surface, and you hardly even feel the cold. You feel it slightly, but hardly. So what I'm saying is that what is austerity for 2 or 3 weeks then becomes non-austerity for the rest of the time that you practice it.
Wow.
And that goes for any type of austerity. After a while, it becomes, like you were mentioning, the persons, they laugh and they don't feel it because they get used to it. So for those who are a little bit timid and hesitant to want to do that, will always be austerity. But for those who undergo it, it's not austerity, because they, after a while, it's not even enjoyment, it's just what they do. And simply, and they said it as, to some extent, for those who want to practice, that's an example. But as I said, one has to be very careful with austerity, because you could become very proud, very puffed up. Oh, I can do this and they can't. Oh, I'm superior, they're inferior. This goes on psychologically, sometimes consciously, but most of the time subconsciously. Now, therefore, even though you may be doing it in order to gain spiritual advancement, as long as those ideas percolate through the head, I'm doing what they don't do, I'm higher, I'm greater, I'm bigger, I'm better. As long as those ideas come, or look at him, look, wearing all those heavy socks, wearing all those long underwears, as long as those types of thoughts come through the mind, this is another form of pride. And pride goes before the fall. Mm. And Krishna then does some things to us or for us, which cause us to realize, you're not so great, you're not so wonderful, you're not so high, I'm higher than you, I'm better, I'm bigger, so stop thinking you're great. And generally he creates a situation which puts us in a difficulty, some trouble, some tribulation, some problem, and gives you the thought that, yes, Krishna is punishing me for all my thoughts of superiority and pride and arrogance and comparing myself to others. So therefore, austerity is good. But we have to always be mindful of the fact that this tendency is there. And we need to pray very hard to Krishna to be free of it, because he can destroy it. And he destroys it by gradually chipping away at the false ego, which is basic cause of this. I'm big, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm better. So, and if we do that, Krishna then does give us the protection and the insulation that we need against those thoughts. And even if those type of thoughts come, you look at them with condemnation. You look at them with disgust. And therefore, they stop immediately.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj reminding us about Prabhupada's statement in Nectar of Devotion that artificial austerities are not very conducive for spiritual advancement, because they make the heart hard. And this is very bad. So thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, thank you. In following, you were mentioning, in following properly Garbhodhana Samskara, the potent and the power is there. I was considering that I've been seeing sometimes, assuming that some grihasthas or householders follow it, but I've seen some examples in which many kids sometimes did not actually came to be as they wanted to be, like nice devotees and sattvic, but it was the opposite. So could you explain that, or could you say that maybe that was previous lives also? You know, it has to do with karma, that actually did not match the style of life that the parents are living, and they just want to do the opposite?
Well, the proper following or Garbhadhan Samskara, for example, Prabhupada recommended chanting 50 rounds before the conception, and it was meant for spiritualizing our consciousness. But if someone just chants offensive 50 rounds without thinking of Krishna, and just, you know, looking forward to the sense gratification, you know, whatever consciousness one puts in, this is what comes out, then you get sense gratifier. And so pure consciousness means that we do the conception not for our sense gratification, but for giving birth to a very wonderful devotee of Krishna, and think of Krishna and think of the child whom you want to become, like first-class devotee. So we have externals like chanting, but we have consciousness which goes along with it. And unfortunately, many times devotees, they think that just a ritual will produce the result. No, not necessarily. It's consciousness which is very important. That the mind is very important.
Can also karma plays a good role, like previous lives? You know, that the parents have to go through some struggles and maybe some suffering there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, karma is always there. And karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam, that karma can be neutralized only by bhakti bhajam, by serving Krishna with love. So, of course, if we are not serving Krishna with love, if we're just following it in a ritualistic way, expecting some you know, results for ourselves, selfish results, it may not work the way we want, and it may result in disappointment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. All right, so thank you all very much for your kind attention. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Thank you.